Hello and welcome to the Saxo market call on Wednesday, the 6th of July, 2022. And Ole, what a session yesterday. We had the leading benchmark index for commodities, the BCOM, Bloomberg Commodity Index, down 5%. We had dollar breakouts against the euro. It very much felt like we talked about yesterday that the market was now in this binary state between either trading inflation or recession, and that would dominate flows. And oh boy, we got the recession flows kicking in yesterday with that move in commodities. I have put it on slide three. Our commodity theme basket was down 4%. Defense and renewable energy, travel and logistics were in that as well. So what happened was that, as you said, and you can put more points or color to it just in a short while, but you had that breakout in the dollar. You had energy markets basically puking in Europe, and sort of people realizing maybe this can cause a recession, and then commodities went. And then I think from that point on in equities, it became a very much technical, statistical arbitrage move, because all the worst performers of year to date were suddenly bit hard. As you can see, bubble stocks up almost 7%, next gen basket up 4-5%, e-commerce 4%. Cybersecurity 2.5, and then on the flip side, you didn't only have commodities; you had all the best performing, including defense. But I mean, nothing has really changed for defense. So, as you said, Ole, it's a little bit the silly season. Liquidity is running low. People are going on holiday. You don't need much to move markets. And I think yesterday was quite a weird session, to say the least. But on the other hand, and we'll talk more about that, whether how credible is this recession. But Ole, I think maybe we should go to commodities, and then we can move back to real yields and financial conditions. But I think you should take it away on commodities, because it was really your field that was moving yesterday.
Yes, Peter, and you mentioned already a couple of reasons, but I think the chain of event yesterday, I think, really started in Europe with gas prices hitting new 3 months high, around 170 euros a megawatt, basically equivalent of $300 a barrel crude oil equivalent. That triggered the weakness in the euro dollar. Euro dollar broke below 103.50. That dollar strength spread to the other crosses. And that basically became the trigger that exacerbated the recessionary weakness that we've seen in commodities now for the past month. So it ended up being a day where all commodities, with the exception of European gas prices, all took a serious beating. We got the crude oil down at one point, down 10%. We are already bouncing again this morning in the oil sector. Copper overnight lost further ground on news that some additional testing is going to be rolled out in China, basically still struggling with their COVID outbreaks. And remember, industrial metals basically take a lot of their demand, or maybe around half of their demand from China. So gas, I think, was the catalyst for the slump. It is a silly season, as we like to call it, because it is a time of year where a lot of traders and investors, they basically turn off their screens and take their family on a holiday, and that basically means you're not entering, you're not adding positions at this point. You're exiting positions, and that basically also led to the weakness we had. So taking a look at slide seven here, just the year-on-year changes in commodity prices. You can see the orange or the highlighted area with the black line. That is the Bloomberg Commodity Spot Index. It's currently up 16%. Over the past year, mind you, we peaked around 45% plus just a month ago, and that month ago was exactly around the time of the bigger than expected CPI print that we saw from the US, leading to that aggressive rate hike the following week. And interest rates are really key to watch right now, because if we look at slide six, and you got some comments about that as well, Peter, we are now in the position where the market is almost where the Fed is almost ahead of the curve in terms of where they are seeing where the dot plot is dictating that rates are going. We're seeing quite a big change in the outlook for interest rates, especially from December this year until December next year. Between that period, we are now looking for nearly a 1% rate cut. And with the commodity prices coming down, we're also seeing inflation expectations coming coming down. Also seen that here on slide 6. And that's obviously supporting the bond market, and it's supporting your part of the world, Peter, the stock markets, especially the more speculative part of it.
Yeah, that was what happened, as I said. I mean, it's but it, in the end of the day, it doesn't really make sense that, you know, the move yesterday was clearly tied to recession fear, and then you see all the junk parts of the market rallying. I think Cliff Asness, the CEO and co-founder of AQR, also had some funny remarks yesterday on Twitter around this. Said, "Okay, guys, so are we going into a recession or what? And now you want to buy all the junkiest stuff you can get?" I mean, it's that makes it a very weird trade. But I've also on slide 4 put in the real yield, the 5-year real yield in the US. So basically, the nominal yield less the zero coupon inflation swap. And as you can see here, you know, we have come down from the recent peak in the real yield, but the real yield hasn't really moved to that high point of that we had in 2018 before the big policy drama around that time. To me, it doesn't feel like, if I was to guess, so the nominal GDP growth in the US is still above 10% right now. You don't need a meaningful cooling of inflation before real growth is really high in the US. So to me, I think the trajectory is still on. We need to get tighter rates. If you look at nominal growth and where that is, I would presume that we need higher US real yields, and we need tighter financial conditions. I've put that into slide 5, where you can see how that's accelerating. I think we'll get an update either today, tomorrow, or on Friday on this Chicago Fed adjusted financial condition index. But we'll see. And I think your chart is quite good, Ole. But if you look at the spread between where we are on the effective Fed funds rate, the target right now, versus where the December short-term interest rate futures are trading, I mean, it's still a pretty wide. It's almost 2 percentage point spread there still, given what has taken place already. So I think we're still in for a 50 basis point rate hike this month. And then basically we'll have to see how the markets react. But keep in mind that it's very fluid. It's very volatile. Liquidity is low. I probably read a little bit less into these moves right now because of the season. I should also mention, Ole, before we go back to you, I haven't put it into the stocks to watch because there was nothing really to watch, except that as soon as I had finished my slide deck, news came out that Amazon has taken a stake in Grubhub, which is a food delivery service that Just Eat is running in the US, and you're seeing Just Eat shares in Amsterdam up more than 20%. It's a bigger partnership. I'll probably write about it in my equity update today. It's a bigger partnership where users or customers of Grubhub can get some benefit from Amazon Prime, etc. But so it's a bigger deal. So watch Just Eat in the European session. Ole, where do you want to go on commodities from here?
Well, that's a very good question, Peter. I think the market, everyone wants to know where do we actually go from here. I for one is obviously have to be put my hands out and say I did not expect to see such a deep correction, especially in the metal space. Several reasons why we had seen this correction being the sell-off being as deep. Most of it obviously generated by the weakness in China, but also the fact that we're seeing recession trades being put on into the market, and with crude oil being such a fortress. Still, even though we've seen it plunged overnight, the metal space has really been on the receiving end of speculative selling in anticipation of incoming recession. So that's driven the levels down to where we are right now. I put in just copper and oil on slide 8. There's stories across all the different commodities, but I think it goes for all of them that some of these moves are potentially beyond what would otherwise be fundamentally justified at these levels. But looking at copper, the floodgates opened again yesterday when we broke below that 350 level, which we have been highlighting. It is the low of the recent consolidation area around late 2020, early 2021, and also the 50% retracement of using Fibonacci. So if Fibonacci is the thing to keep an eye on right now, then 314 is the next key level. But we are seeing some bids coming back into the market already as we speak. And And we'll see whether potentially yesterday was a bit of the last leg capitulation move, a bit early, obviously, to call it. But it smelled a lot of capitulation that across markets yesterday. Crude oil, yes, a 10% drop, not unusual in this market. Remember what we saw earlier this year. So I just note that we are still stuck in this $100 to $125 range. It looks like we potentially are going to use the whole range this quarter. There is in the short term a risk below 100, but I just think we just have to consider the supply outlook, that we are actually in a situation where demand needs to slow in order just to maintain these current prices. So it will really have to be quite a severe recession for it to really mean that we could get down to levels that Citibank has been calling for in the $65 area towards the end of the next year, towards the end of this year. So all in all, Peter, it's a very volatile market. It's a market suffering from lack of liquidity. It's a market very, very focused on recession. And obviously, we just have to watch incoming data just to ascertain whether that a recession threat is as serious as the market is currently trying to price in.
All right. Before we go to the macro calendar, I just saw an interesting news coming over the wire. So Shell has decided this morning to build Europe's largest green hydrogen plant. The project is going to be 10 times larger than the current biggest plant we have in Europe. I think it's a story about what is really happening. It will contain 200 megawatts of electrolyzers powered by a wind farm off the coast of the Netherlands. So watch these companies in Europe that are producing the electrolyzers. There are quite a few actually that are listed on the exchange. You were sort of you wanted to say something, Ole?
No, that's I think it's most certainly the theme that will not go away. The green transformation, especially with problems we have with Russia and the supply of worries that we've seen. So the green transformation is a political project. It's also one that is necessary, and that basically means investment into that sector will continue. And as we all know, and as we've been highlighting for a long time, it will be very metal, among other. Very metal intensive. Once we get stabilized situation in China, I see these markets starting to find a bid again.
All right, and closing off with the macro calendar at 1400 GMT, we have the US June ISM services PMI figure, and we talked a little bit about it yesterday. It's given the recession fear trade we had on yesterday. Going to be super interesting to see where this figure ends. I mean, let me just look at the calendar here. So the consensus is looking for a 54 figure, down from almost 56. So that is still a negative momentum for the US services sector. I think if we get an upside surprise to this figure, and we're still having the JOLTS job openings figures which are out at the same time, if they remain higher than expected as well, then suddenly you could see quite a reversal of yesterday's flows, because you know the majority of the U.S. economy is services. So watch out for that. I think those two are very key points. And then we have, of course, highlighted the FOMC minutes, the minutes from last month's FOMC decision to hike rates aggressively. And obviously, for currency traders out there, there will be a lot of color in the FOMC minutes and potential clues to what the Fed is thinking and what they discussed and what happens next this month when we have another FOMC rate decision. And with that, I think you are off to vacation, right, Ole? So you won't be back tomorrow. I'll be alone on this podcast.
No, it's typical when things start to heat up. Holiday back, and so I'll be gone but back again next week. So we'll continue to provide the information in our daily market quick take, which you can find on our website, although it's always going to be tweeted from my tweet account. So we provide daily updates there, but the podcast will take a short holiday break, 2 weeks, and we'll be back again later in July.
Exactly. Thank you for that, Ole. Okay. Thank you for listening, guys. And take care out there and stay safe in these volatile markets.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter at Saxo Market Call or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.